from the lake to the basin and the old bayou. Find your favorite fishing pole. Find out where's the next honey hole. Only on the Top Rod Fishing Show.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm Tony Landry along with Ricky Watkins. And welcome to Kane Radio, FM BAM 107.5 AM 1240 in the Fishing and Hunting Show. And as always, the purpose of this show is to keep our listeners updated with the fishing and hunting in the area, along with Louisiana and stories around the USA and the world. And as always, Rick, these are the good people, the reason we're here today.
You're right, Tony. Good morning to everyone. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Watkins Floor Covering, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, SureTire Apartments, and the Quarter Tap.
And if you'd like to give us a call, of course, the area code 337, and the number is 367-1240. And we have a, I think we have a caller, Rick. Let's see what we got. You're on the air with the Fishing and Hunting Show.
Hi, I was just calling to wish a birthday, my best friend, a birthday, Vicki Sellerin.
Yeah, could you give us a call at 365-3434? We'd appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Anyway, Rick, let's continue on. You can now listen to Kane's Fishing and Hunting Show online at www.kane1240.com anywhere in the world. And if you have an Alexa, just say, Alexa, play Kane 1240. You also can listen to Kane on any accessible Internet device. We're live here at the studios at 107 West Main Street here in downtown New Iberia, right next to Victor's Cafeteria, which is active this morning and open. And, Rick, freshwater, saltwater fishing, what you got, my man?
Tony, the old basin, it had a couple of tournaments the past couple of weekends before the water started rising. And it took some good stringers to win, but now it's, not to say it's getting out of hand, but it's getting higher and higher, and the higher it gets, the water's just going to back up, and it's going to be tough unless you got a good pullover right now to fish in the basin.
Well, I know you'd even suggested a couple of weeks ago about pond fishing would be your best avenue
That's right. That's what I've been doing, Tony, and been doing very well. The lake, they've been catching a few fish in the lake, and the lake's probably going to get, you know, a lot of pressure from now since pretty much hunting season's just about over. And like I said, I've been fishing in the pond, Tony. It's been doing very well. Now, on the saltwater side, I haven't heard too much about, you know, what's going on saltwater. But like I said, with the basin going up, I'd either go to the lake or find a good pond to fish.
And, you know, Rick, with that, the river stage at Butte Rose at one time was comfortable for everybody.
Yeah, it was.
Between, you know, 5 to 8 feet, you know, bump up and down a little bit.
Right.
Now, we had 14.75 this morning at 6 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
And we're looking at Tuesday. It getting up as high as almost a little over 15 feet.
Yeah, that's getting up there, Tony. Like I said, once it gets, you know, 7-ish, 8-ish is good, but when it starts climbing, I think it grows like almost 2.5 feet in a week and a couple of days. That's just too much influx of water. When you jump that much, you know, from good water, Tony, to just muddy water, when that river rises, it starts pumping that muddy water like in Sherrington, and, you know, it just... But hopefully it'll come back down. It may not, you know, but 15 is, that's pretty high for this time of year.
You know, with all the snow melting up north, you know, even though they had, you know, we had a lot of cold weather here.
Right.
I mean, you think that snow has melted that quickly and already coming down the river, you know, Missouri and the Mississippi?
Yeah, and the Cairo too, Tony. There's a lot of factors. They divert some of the water, you know, from each watershed. And it's got to be coming from probably the Cairo, because if you watch the Cairo when it rises, in about a week later, the Chaffala Basin will definitely rise.
Yeah, the water is up. It's passed across the basin a couple times doing games in the last couple weeks.
Yeah,
and
it sure is.
You can see the height, too.
Oh, yeah, Henderson is muddy, muddy.
Yeah, yeah, the swamp, you're right about that. But they had a few boats out there. Don't know if they were experienced fishermen or inexperienced fishermen, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I think I said that last week on our show, Tony. I want to go across the Henderson Swamp. You know, Lake Bijou and all of that, cross that over and get on the other side of Butte La Rose. That water was gorgeous.
You know,
I've never fished that, but one of these days I'm going to go try it.
Yeah, you're right about that. Hey, Rick, how about our bait of the day? What's on the card today?
Tony, this here is it's put out by Zoom, and it's a fluke, and it's probably around 4 inches long, and this is what I've been catching on. The color is called Blue Watermelon, okay? and you can see the green. It's got a lot of green in it. For some reason, green is always on the color chart, of, you know, for the fish. And I've been rigging this up. It's called a Carolina rig. Your bait would be here, and the weight's here.
So
you got about a two-foot leader.
Yeah, okay.
You put your weight here, so what? And you just twitch your rod, so this bait goes crazy. I mean, we've been tearing them up on that in a pond, Tony. Or you can rig it Texas style. When I say Texas style, it's just a hook. You hook this with a 5-aught hook with no weight, you know, and it's right now the fish are starting to look to spawn, Tony, and I mean, it's just, that bait right now has just been, it's been killer, you know.
It's so a hot it's a, bait.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're saying.
It's the thing to go with. Oh, yeah.
Now,
it's
would been, that even work in the lakes, or
oh,
is
yeah.
it strictly a
yeah.
pond?
Yeah, I would throw it weightless. I would throw it weightless. No, you can catch them in the lake, too. A lot of guys throw this bait, and especially this time of year. Because the fish are looking to feed up, Tony, before they go on, you know, to spawn. And, I mean, it's like a minnow when it's darting. Like I said, you just twitch your rod, and that bait, I mean, it's got a lot of action to it. But like I said, it's put out by Zoom. Now, these little babies have jumped up lately, Tony. I was shocked the other day when I went to my local store, and then I ordered some, too, online. But, of course, everything's went up today. These now, a pack of 10, I think it is. Yeah, it is a 10 count. Or run you about 5-something. But still, that's not bad if you're catching fish.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So they put out by Zoom, and it's, you know.
And you got 10 in a bag, yeah. approximately?
Yeah, and on that 10, you can catch a lot of fish.
50
10
cents a piece, you know.
Yeah.
That's not too bad,
oh,
including
no.
tax or whatever.
If you catch fish, yeah, that's right.
That's what it's all about, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
right.
as much as I do,
like
it's
I
about
said,
catching
it's put
fish.
Out by Zoom, and it's a jerk bait, and it's a fluke, we call it. And that's the bait of the day, and it's been real good lately, you know.
You know, Rick, the river's all on the rise, but we're not. It's not extraordinarily high like we had for, God, a year, 2 years.
Oh, no.
Where the water was up 18, 19, 20 feet.
Yeah,
and,
talking about.
Of course, at 14, 15 feet, it is relatively high. But
right.
Over the past 3 or 4 years, it was just ridiculous to fish in the basin.
Right.
And, of course, the soccer leg guys are kind of excited right now, you know, over in the Verrett basins and all. And,
yes.
And, you know, water temperatures are running between 59, 62, probably a little higher in the lakes, you know, and all. But anyway, Sockley, the bass, the Sockleys are the first one to spawn. Then you got the bass, and
that's right.
Then come the largemouth, and then the spotted, and the bluegill, and smaller sunfish, and all that, chickapin, and all those type of fish.
That's right.
And we're just about there. I think usually we'll have one, maybe two more cold snaps. You know, won't be 32, but it'll be in the 40s.
Yeah, the Sockley should be looking to spawn, getting pretty close, Tony. Yeah.
And also, Rick, you know, it's important to know the moon phases, too. I know you're a big believer in the barometric pressure.
That
but
the
moon phases, you know, with the water moving and all come into play. And
in the winds, too, Tony. You know, east is the least, west is the best.
Yeah. Oh, you're right about that.
Yeah.
And the next new moon comes March 13th, and the next full moon is March 28th. So it's more than an old fisherman's tale that freshwater species spawn during full moon, depending, of course, on the water temperatures and water levels, too. So anyway, we'll see how all that's going to come into play. So
it's getting close.
And I know you and a lot of others like the Sockley, man. They look forward to that time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
To go out there and Sockley fish, you know, whether it be the white or the black.
That's right.
It's a great time of the year for fishing in the area, Rick. You know that as much as I do.
Yep, it should be just getting better, you know. And with the time change, I think it's this weekend, huh?
That's right, yeah. Time changes, folks, so you got to move your clock forward, you know, spring forward.
Yeah.
And so at when you go to bed at 10, you set it up to 11. If you go to bed at midnight, set it up to 1, et cetera.
That's something before you even lay down, Tony, you lose an hour of sleep, huh?
That's right.
No, just to say.
And the sun's going to come up a whole lot early, you know, so
it'll
be coming up around 6:15.
Yeah, you're right.
And then setting, you know, a lot earlier, too. And so it'll be looking at a little after 5 o'clock.
Yeah. You know, Tony, a lot of people fuss about that, but I look at it, it's a trade-off. You get off of work, you got a little more in the evening, you know, daylight, but anyway, it's, you know.
Yeah, daylight savings time, if my memory's correct, it was initiated sometime during World War One. Then they reactivated it during World War Two. Gave the factory workers another hour to work in daylight.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, it was brought back sometime in the mid-60s to where this was done, and they haven't changed it yet. They're talking about just leaving it alone, you know, over all these years at this time to have a little more. And there are a few states, I think Indiana, Arizona, and Hawaii are some of the states that don't recognize daylight savings time.
Okay.
So I think Indiana's won along with Arizona. I know Hawaii has won.
Right.
Because
like
they got
you said this weekend. Just remember to spring forward.
That's right. That's right, folks. You got to remember to spring forward and move those clocks. You don't want to miss church or a meeting or something
right.
of that nature come Sunday
yeah.
morning
yes, sir.
When all that takes place and all. So anyway, you know, like you mentioned too, Rick, that hunting's basically done. It's time to rebound. Did you hear anything on any freezes, you know, with the fish kills, anything of that nature?
No, not really.
Like
Tony,
we dodged that bullet this year.
You got lucky, thanks. I didn't really hear too much about that at all.
And there was a lot of concern, too.
Yeah, there sure was.
Yeah, especially in the lakes where the water's not as deep, you know, in some of those deeper areas where the fish can get down to and all hide from that cold water. But I didn't hear about any fish kills at all, Rick.
No.
None at all.
No.
But something I didn't even realize there was, you know, commercial fishing for aggregated large coastal sharks and hammerheads. I didn't realize there was a limitation on that. The Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries announced effective March 10th that commercial fishing for large coastal sharks and aggregate large coastal and hammerhead groups, that's the great hammerhead, the scalloped hammerhead, the smooth hammerhead, nurse shark, bull shark, lemon shark, sandbar shark, silky shark, spinner shark, tiger shark, will close in Louisiana waters. I know a lot of people go after the sharks for the fins.
Right.
You know, they'll catch the shark and cut the fins off and use that as a delicacy or whatever. But anyway, during the closed season, all commercial harvest, possession, purchase, exchange, barter, trade, sale, or attempt to purchase, exchange, barter, trade, whatever, of coastal sharks and the aggregated hammerhead groups and fins. Fins, that's the key word, the operative word, their fins, is prohibited. And the Louisiana Department reminds all recreational anglers, commercial harvesters, that Louisiana waters are closed to the harvest of all sharks from April to June, and that the season for the commercial harvest of small coastal sharks in Louisiana will resume July 1st. You know, when I go fishing out there on the mountains and all behind Marshall Island, those little sand sharks are always hitting your line. Always.
Yeah.
And you catch a few of them,
that's
too.
Right. Yep.
It's never the case, too, especially when you're out speckled trout fishing and they just, in drum, they always seem to hit your lines back there. You know, and you see your line just snap, too.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And you pull back and you go, you got a backlash in your reel.
Yes, sir.
It's a lot frustrating, Rick, in that regard. I mean, just one of those things. It's been a little while since that's happened to me, but anyway, it's one of those things. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and take our first break this morning. You're listening to Kane Radio, FM 107.5 and AM 1240's Fishing and Hunting Show. We're going to be back with more right after this break.
Don't you love living in New Iberia? Elmer and Liz Watkins do. They own Watkins Floor Covering and have been doing business in the Queen City for nearly half a century. If you're in the business for new floors, visit the Watkins, and they will certainly give you the red carpet service treatment. Whether carpet or hard flooring, Shaw Floors is one of their best sellers. Watkins Floor Covering, located at 1319 East Main Street, and I can guarantee when you go visit with Elmer and Liz, they'll be listening to Kane Radio blaring in their store. That's Watkins Floor Covering, right here in New Iberia.
A new Carrier heating and air conditioning system from Dawes Heating and Cooling can save you money every month. Thanks to the newest line of Carrier energy-efficient technology products, you can lower your utility bill. Don't forget to ask about the cool cash savings through your local Carrier dealer. Turn to the Carrier experts at Dawes Heating and Cooling. Call Dan, you're my AC man, today at 337-367-2511. That's 337-367-2511, license number 6286.
Locally owned and operated, Alamo Hydraulics serves the oil business on the national scene. Specializing in welding, grinding, and hard chrome plating, Alamo also does fabrication work on cylinders, valves, pumps, and motors of all brands. Located at 2712 West Admiral Doyle Drive, you can call Chris Williamson at 303-3799. That's Alamo Hydraulics, a proud sponsor of the Kane Fishing and Hunting Show.
We have a new player on the field, and he's ready for kickoff with a delicious ice-cold Coca-Cola and the kick. Ice giving him a little trouble as a few cubes shake loose. He's probably going to pour it here, and he does. The glass is full. Can he go all the way? He did it! Oh, wow! And just listen to that fizz! That might have been the most refreshing thing that I've ever seen. Whew! Coca-Cola. Taste the feeling.
The hits of the 60s, 70s, and 80s on Kane 107.5.
Welcome back to Kane Radio's Fishing and Hunting Show. I'm your host, Tony Landry, along with Ricky Watkins. And Ricky, off the air, we were talking about this, about the black-bellied whistling duck, avian cholera deaths, Mount New Orleans. And the reason I bring this up is because, you know, these animals, these ducks die. And, you know, a lot of animals and pets and all like to rub against these, you know, carcasses and all.
And they bring them to the house. Yeah. That's
right. Oh, so they've had over 1,000 black-bellied whistling ducks in New Orleans and surrounding areas, including Audubon Park, Audubon Zoo, Lafreniere Park, and private ponds. Park and zoo personnel are assisting in the carcass removal in an effort to reduce the spread of the disease. A naturally occurring circumstance is caused by the bacteria and can result in waterfowl death. And it's something that they're looking at hard. And, you know, with these poor animals, you know, they don't want that human smell on them. So especially pets, you know, you see your dog rubbing in the grass. Or I've even seen dogs rub on dead animals, you know, to get that human scent off of them. And the problem is many bird species and mammals, including pets, are susceptible to the infection of this bacteria.
Right.
So it's something they're trying to put out and put out the fire. And hopefully haven't heard of anything this area.
No.
But it's serious. And anyway, pets should not be allowed to come in contact with dead or dying waterfowl. And we'll see what happens. The common signs of avian cholera are erratic flight, loss of head control, floppy necks, mucus discharge from nasal openings, and death. So, you know, something like the mad cow disease that we're all familiar with. And but this is something that you got to keep an eye on, too. So in that regard, you know, we were talking earlier about hunting and all, Rick, and turkey hunting is getting ready to crank up in another couple of weeks, and it's a big time. And like we talk, that's one of the hardest birds to kill.
It is, Tony. I've seen a few of them in the basin, like I told you, and by the time you hear the gobble or, you know, when you're looking, the bird's done gone. You don't hear nothing else. So they're very smart and very, I mean, it's got to be one of the, if not the toughest birds to hunt. It has to be.
Yeah, those toms are hard to kill, man. I mean, and they fly erratically, too. They don't, they're not like a duck where a duck just takes off. A duck does, you don't see a duck turn and angle and change flight. Yeah. And a turkey will just move all over the place
for
you.
A big bird, they can move.
Like you said, they're one of the biggest birds you find roosting.
They roost in the trees,
That's right. Sir. You know, you can see them up in the trees. And, of course, that's not sporting, you know, if you shoot one up in a tree that's roosting. But anyway, it's just one of those things. So Louisiana Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, they amends the proposed notice of intent for the 21-22 hunting season. Wildlife and Fisheries Commission approved an amendment last Thursday, meaning March 4th, during its monthly meeting in Baton Rouge pertaining to use of natural deer urine. For all you deer hunters out there, the amendment states that only natural deer urine products lawful to import, sell, or use or possess must have a seal of approval on a product from either the Responsible Hunting Scent Association or the Archery Trade Association for the Deer Protection Program. And the Wildlife Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Division will actively monitor all Louisiana businesses selling these products to ensure compliance. These actions are part of the wildlife and fisheries efforts to prevent chronic wasting disease, you know, entering the state on the deer herds, you know, which is a big problem.
Oh, yeah.
And the CWD has not been detected in Louisiana. But guess what, folks? It's been found in 26 states, including Arkansas, Mississippi, and Texas, that are contiguous to Louisiana.
We've been lucky, Tony.
Boy, you're right about that. You figured, you know, and deer can swim. A lot of deer swim rivers and all.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, they got to go across the Mississippi up in the Mississippi area. But Texas, the Sabine, and Arkansas, there's no river to stop them. You know, so it's something, public hearing on this amendment will be held April 21st at the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries headquarters in Baton Rouge at 10 a.m., and to view the full notice of intent and all proposed hunting season dates. That's something else you want to look at. Go to Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website and to look up those resources and the proposed hunting season. So here again, you know, don't holler and scream. You know, if you don't like something you see, you got to voice your opinion and get involved. If it's something you see, all you hunters out there, and make some changes to what's going on in the hunting and all.
That's
so it's all important. And something I brought up, it doesn't happen here, but we have some issues, you know, with coyotes here, Rick.
And every now and then, Tony, on the outskirts of town, I see one, you know, they get struck by a vehicle. But you're right, it's starting to be
it's a nuisance along with the feral hogs.
Right.
At one time, we thought the neutral rats, and they still are an issue in the swamps and all.
But I don't see them like they used to, Tony.
Here in this area, you're right, Ricky. Yeah. You really don't. They're more of an issue over in the Terrebonne, LaFourche, those areas where it's a lot more swampy.
Right.
And it's a big issue down there, too. I think they're paying $5 to $7 a tail now if you bring in a tail of a neutral rat.
Because back when we used to go into the Prejean, and the other part escapes me. But anyway, it used to be full of them, Tony. And I hardly ever see a single one. And you used to see 10 or 20 of them.
Is that something that coyotes would have?
I don't know.
Be a predator for a neutral rat, a coyote would?
Possibility, but I wouldn't think so.
But the coyotes, they're an issue. They're not as bad as what they are in some other states.
Yeah.
In North Carolina, they have the 8th annual Carolina Coyote Classic. This past weekend, they killed 272 coyotes.
Man.
That's a lot of coyotes
in
an area. That record number of kills during the event. Now, you might think, man, that's cruel and harsh, but those animals don't even have a man, they kill pets. They kill, they kill the wildlife.
Oh, they hurt a small kid, too, a child.
That's right. And they're 50, 60-pound animal, and then most of them, they're loners, but they do travel in packs every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
And and this year, the Classic paid out a bounty for each coyote, and each coyote that was brought in was weighed in the water, a bounty of $20. So the team's killing 10 coyotes, finished 10th place. There were a lot of money paid out and all for this, and I don't know if that might be something that come into play here in this area, but the hogs are the issue here.
Oh, yeah.
Big problem.
Yeah, they are.
And the people who live in the city don't see that.
Yeah.
But if you go out into the farming area and all that, a herd of hogs can tear up 3 or 4 acres in a night.
Right there by, right outside of town, Tony, on J.K. Darnell Road, there's a strip of land that runs from there all the way to Jenneret. There's more hogs in there, and I mean, it's unreal.
Especially when you go down Admiral Dahl, which used to be 40 Arpit Road, and you're going towards Jenneret, and you get out past Darnell Road, it slopes down like,
they'll come out of the basin, Tony, and they'll come to the lake, and then they cross over. You know, and when they run in at night, when they get in the middle right outside of town right here, I mean, they just total destruction. They tear up some property.
Yeah, and you can get them. You can shoot coyotes, but you can shoot the hogs 24/7, 365. There's no limit on them.
Yeah.
You can take them down, and
And then when they hit the marsh, there's a bunch out in the marsh also.
Yeah, and it's a serious issue too. Now this next story before we go to the tides, Rick, boating fatalities rising in the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries urges the use of life jackets and other safety measures. How many times on this show, over the past 4 or 5 years we've been here, that we talk about someone, whether it be a jet ski or boating accident? And 80-90% of them aren't wearing life jackets.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, like you just said. It's amazing, Tony. I mean, every situation is different, but you got to be careful on the water, I told a couple of my buddies this week, I said, they're starting to take their boats out. I said, man, y'all be careful. There's no brakes on the water, Tony.
You're right, Rick.
You just got to watch,
Well,
and it happens so daggone quick, bro.
And it's so sad, too, to see someone's life taken from them with just precautionary measures could save their lives.
And
so,
right now, that water's still cool, Tony. I mean, if you hit the water, even with a jacket on, you're going to have some issues, but at least you can save your life.
You're right. Well, this reminder comes after two more boating fatalities in the past week, bringing the number of Louisiana boating fatalities to 2021 to 7. In 2020, there were only two recreational boating fatalities. You're hit?
Yeah.
And this is February. This is March. Now, we talked about that guy fell off that personal watercraft out in Vermilion Parish, wasn't wearing a flotation device. And on March 6th, a boat with five people on board struck a railroad bridge in Lake Pontchartrain near New Orleans, resulting in one fatality and four people being treated for serious injury.
Yeah.
A life jacket is the life-saving equipment on a boat, Rick.
Then they had a guy in a kayak that had flipped. Remember?
That's right.
They found him, and when they found him, he didn't have his jacket on.
Yeah, please use it. And we want people to know that enjoying the water, and it's great to enjoy the water, but there's safety rules important to follow, and the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Division encourages everyone to wear those personal flotation devices. They're called life jackets. That's why they're life jackets.
You're right.
And have a sober operator while on the water.
Yeah.
And also, it's important to note that if anyone 16 and older and younger to wear a U.S. Coast Guard approved and properly fitting personal flotation device, a life jacket, while underwearing a vessel under 26 feet in length. Also, everyone on a vessel less than 16 feet in length, propelled by a hand tiller motor, must wear a personal flotation device while underway.
Right.
And there all must be a personal flotation device on the boat for each person on board the vessel.
Yes,
while
sir.
Riding on a personal watercraft. You must wear a life jacket. So,
you know, Tony, always said that. We talked about that last week. I just, and I don't know why, you know, if you got to have them in the boat to keep them in the locker, if you do that, please put it on.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
Oh, yeah. How many times you say, oh, my life jacket's here, I got them.
Yeah.
And most of those agents will start writing,
yeah.
Especially if you see you moving, you're not wearing them.
Right.
Anyway, operating and driving a vessel in Louisiana while intoxicated is the same penalties as operating a vehicle, and a DWI on the water can be issued to anyone operating a moving vessel while impaired. So, also, boaters are encouraged to take the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries approved boating safety course. It's mandatory for anyone born after January 1st, 1984, to operate a motor craft or a motorboat over 10 horsepower.
Yeah.
And last year, they certified 9,610 boaters. That's a lot of people.
That's a good thing, too.
Yeah, you're right.
That's a good program. Yep.
Anyway, today, Friday the 12th, the sun rose at 6:19. It's going to set at 6:15. In the high and low tide chart, the first high tide was at 1:53 this morning. Next high tide at 4:22 this afternoon. First low tide will be at 9:18. Next low tide, 9:24 on Saturday the 13th. Sun's going to rise in Southwest Pass at 6:18 and set at 6:16. High and low tide chart, the first high tide Saturday morning will be at 2:52 in the morning. Next high tide at 4:35 in the afternoon. First low tide, 9:53 Saturday morning. Next low tide, 10:51 p.m. that night. And Sunday the 14th, don't forget to change your clocks. Spring forward, the sun's going to rise at 7:17. That's an hour later.
Yep.
And set at 7:16, an hour later also. And in the high and low tide chart, the first high tide, 4:51 in the morning. Next high tide, 5:47. First low tide will be 11:24 Sunday morning. Next low tide at 11:22. The average water temperature is going up. It's 63 degrees out there in Vermilion Bay. And, Rick, as always, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for these fine people.
You're right, Tony. Thanks to Alamo Hydraulics, Watkins Floor Covering, Doors Heating and Cooling, Coca-Cola, Shirt Tile Apartments, and the Quota Tower.
And our motto is always,
kids at Hunting Fish, don't steal and deal.